castle that I came across the curious stranger whom I am going to talk about. We fell together, as modest people will, in the tail of the herd that was being shown through.
Ancient hauberk, date of the 6th century, said to have belonged to the knight Sir Sagramore le Desirous. Observe the round hole through the chain mail in the left breast, supposed to have been done with a bullet, perhaps maliciously, by Cromwell's soldiers.
My acquaintance smiled. Not a modern smile, but one that must have gone out of general use many, many centuries ago, and muttered, apparently to himself,
"Wit ye well, I saw it done."
Then, after a pause, added,
"I did it myself."
By the time I had recovered from the electric surprise of this remark, he was gone. All that evening I sat by my fire at the Warwick Arms, steeped in a dream of the olden time, while the rain beat upon the windows and the wind roared about the eaves and corners. From time to time, I dipped into old Sir Thomas Malory's enchanting book and fed at its rich feast of prodigies and adventures, breathed in the fragrance of its obsolete names, and dreamed again. As I laid the book down, there was a knock at the door, and my stranger came in. I gave him a pipe and a chair and made him welcome. I also comforted him with a hot Scotch whiskey, gave him another one, then still another, hoping always for his story. After a fourth persuader, he drifted into it himself, in a quite simple and natural way.
"I am an American, born and reared in Hartford, in the state of Connecticut. Anyway, just over the river, in the country. So I am a Yankee of the Yankees, and practical, yes, and nearly barren of sentiment, I suppose. My father was a blacksmith, my uncle was a horse doctor, and I was both, along at first. Then I went over to the great arms factory and learned my real trade, learned to make everything. Guns, revolvers, cannon, boilers, engines, all sorts of labor-saving machinery. Why, I could make anything. And if there wasn't any quick, new-fangled way to make a thing, I could invent one, and do it as easy as rolling off a log. I became head superintendent. Well, a man like that is a man that is full of fight. That goes without saying. With a couple of thousand rough men under one, one has plenty of that sort of amusement. I had, anyway. At last, I met my match, and I got my dose. It was during a misunderstanding conducted with crowbars with a fellow we used to call Hercules. He laid me out with a crusher alongside the head that made everything crack, and seemed to spring every joint in my skull and made it overlap its neighbor. When I came to again, I was sitting under an oak tree, with a whole broad country landscape, all to myself. Nearly. Not entirely, for there was a fellow on a horse looking down at me. A fellow in old-time iron armor, with a helmet the shape of a nail keg.
"Fair sir, will ye just?" said this fellow.
"Will I which?"
"Will ye try a passage of arms for land or lady or for—"
"What?" I said. "Get along back to your circus, or I'll report you." Now what does this man do but fall back a couple of hundred yards and then come rushing at me as hard as he could tear, with his nail keg bent down nearly to his horse's neck and his long spear pointed straight ahead. I saw he meant business, so I was up the tree when he arrived. He allowed that I was his property, the captive of his spear. There was argument on his side, and the bulk of the advantage, so I judged it best to humor him. We fixed up an agreement whereby I was to go with him, and he was not to hurt me. I came down, and we started away. We never came to an asylum, but at the end of an hour we saw a faraway town sleeping in a valley by a winding river, and beyond it, on a hill, a vast gray fortress with towers and turrets. "Bridgeport," said I, pointing.
"Camelot."